So it's been really fun to be receiving lots of inputs in the last couple of weeks of ideas that are stirring regarding the Festival of Giving. And I know that it's something we're really leaning into and we're really focusing on. And today we're going to just have a look at a couple more things. We're going to revise where we got to last week, and we're going to hear some more story of how God is leading us in this Festival of Giving. So first of all, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers and your support and your encouragement, and just for jumping in to being a generous people always, but allowing now for our hearts to be expanded in a new way for these new days in this place. So thank you so much. It's been just such a delight to see that. You'll be seeing in the Fog Weekly, there's not much coming back yet. We've got a weekly. So if you've got stories, I invite you to send them through to the office or ring. Some of the stories we know are going to go into 2020 because we just haven't got enough time to create what we want to do well. For example, there's been some thoughts about having an open-air market, which will be awesome, where we can just bring things to the community and have a really great celebration. It's a little bit too short time for us to do that, so we're looking at doing that in the new year. There's lots of really, really inspired thoughts coming, and thank you again for those. Let's turn to Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. And we're going to have a look at just an individual that welcomed Jesus into his home. And we see the spirit of generosity in the language of how Luke describes that scene. So Luke 19. I want you to listen to the language of generosity as we hear about this little guy, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, very short, you know the story. So he climbed a tree, right? That's where we're at. And he's part of a crowd, but he's not in the crowd. He's also aware of Jesus, and Jesus is aware of him. Luke 19. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, depending on your emphasis, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran again ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly, and all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here I have now given half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Have a listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We have in our minds often, reaching out to the poor can look like those who are poor, that have needs. The people that we've been talking about that have needs financially and emotionally. And today I just felt like the Lord wanted to say, individuals have needs, they might be wealthy as well. And I felt like the prompting of the Lord to say, some of you actually have connection to wealthy people that need to be able to be called to Jesus. And so through the acts of generosity and being able to meet with them in their homes, you become an expression of Jesus and the generous heart of the Father in that way. So I've just felt like there was someone here even that's actually going to be speaking to, that your world is actually going to be amongst those who have money, but they also want to be a part of the busy work of the kingdom with their generosity. So again, we look at this location, we look at Jesus saying, "I'm going to come to your home." How did he give? He gave by giving time, by going to his home. He didn't give by saying, "Oh, it's a tax collector, let's give money," because that guy did that every day. So his act of generosity was to come and bring salvation to his household. And so there's responses that as we're growing in our hearts of generosity, that you will be finding Jesus is going to prompt you to do different things at different times. So today we're going to just have a little bit of a recap with the slides of where we got to last week, because we discovered that generous was actually a word that came from meaning of noble birth. Remember that? You're born into it. And that was in the 14th century meaning. You belong to nobility. And as Christians, you're born into it. The other part of that generous word, in the 17th century, the word changed a little bit, and instead of being born into it, it was about being of the spirit of nobility. And so we are born into nobility, but we're also carrying the spirit of nobility. So even how that word has morphed over the years, it's still relevant for us that you are born into nobility. You are also carrying the spirit of nobility. So last week, I promised that we would just have a really quick look at the science of generosity. And we're going to go through that now, because there's a university in USA called the University of Notre Dame. Sounds like it's in France. But they actually did a study of the science of generosity. And really quickly, I just want to go through what they discovered, that there were five different points. And they were basically saying that the matter of state and status that you're in when you're generous is higher than the normal. Again, they're recognizing the same. And so they describe generosity as the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. Does that sound kind of like it resonates with what we've been talking about? Yeah. That's what they studied. The study captured that word meaning. And the first thing is that they said generosity, they learned, is an attitude and an action. So it's learned character trait, and it's also an action. So it's inclination plus practice. It also says that, out of this study, it says that it's ongoing and it matures with practice. And so generosity is not just a random idea or a gesture we do once. It's something that matures over time. And they discovered that it's not a haphazard behavior. It's something that becomes ingrained as part of your character. Sound like the word meaning? It's also built into daily living. It creates an orientation that we're also looking for. The science of generosity study also said that it's accepting and rejecting. By that, it means that not only was there good expressed, but it also rejected the scarcity, rejected not having enough. It had to reject things as well as accept things. And if you think about our beliefs and us having to live out, often we want to give, but we have to reject fear, right? Often we want to accept that there's goodness about to be released through generosity, but we might have to reject the thought that I'm not going to have enough. Can you understand? There's acceptance plus rejection. And I think for us in our spiritual world that has power, but also our natural world, that point there is really powerful for us. What do we need to say no to be generous? What do we need to say yes to be generous? It's not only good expressed, it's also saying no to selfishness, saying no to fear, saying no to our culture sometimes. We had a young couple recently that have decided that instead of upgrading their house in their street to make it the best house in the street, that they're actually going to just stay in the street and be generous to their neighbours. And it was a really cultural difference. They also had the opportunity to go and get a bigger property somewhere, but they wanted to stay in that street as part of their generosity visible in the neighborhood. And that number four, it's giving for the good of others, giving to others not simply because we have abundance, but it's for their good. It's giving so that they receive something of benefit. And I wonder, what do we do with re-gifting on that? You've received a gift, not so sure. Is it generous to pass that on? There's some lunchtime conversation for you. Giving for the good, is that what's that about? Does it benefit them? Is there generosity that enhances their well-being through your generous offerings and your gifts? Does it give them something that they actually want? Turn to Jeremiah 29 really quickly. Jeremiah 29, you will all know, because in Jeremiah 29, in verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You all know that verse, right? You've all heard that verse. Have you read the verses before it? Let's have a look at it. Verses 4. So this is speaking to the Israelites who are in exile and they land in a location, and it's a location that's not theirs. It's a location still in exile. They're in a city that they don't want to be in, basically. Fortunately for us, we can read it because we're in a city that we do want to be in and we know God's put us here. They weren't. Verse 4 in chapter 29. "The Lord of hosts says, the God of Israel, to all exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, he says, build houses, live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters," and basically build families. Give your daughters in marriage. They will then bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. In its prosperity, you will find your prosperity. In its well-being, you will find its well-being." Zacchaeus was an individual. His household changed because Jesus came through the generosity and the heart of the Father. Salvation was in that individual household. Here we see the heart of the Lord is wherever we are, that there will be welfare because we are there. Well-being because God's people are there. There will be goodness because God's people are there. So we pray for it and we act it. And so generous giving, that next slide says, we have a whole range of way that we live this out. We can be praying for the welfare. We can be also acting by giving. And we've heard of a lot of different ways to do that. Let's have a look at some more on that slide. Money, possessions, time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability. Individual, organizational, city-wise. Imagine if our city was living with all those things operating under the generosity of God. We are in a place where God's just expanding our hearts so that we can see story visibly in our community through your lives and through our lives for the welfare of our community. If we have a look at this last slide, it's going to have a little calendar on it to remind you that we started this conversation here on Sundays in November. And we're going to have an end point on our last Sunday in December. And it's going to be our version of that party of the generosity of God that we saw on the video last week. So we are inviting the kids to bring something, which is why today we had camels. Because they have a project. I'm pointing to Steve because he was dressed up as a camel earlier today. as part of what's happening with the kids to bring to this celebration on the 22nd. We have also begun to invite the life groups to say, what do you want that Sunday to look like as our family? What do you want to bring as groups to make that Sunday the best expression of generous kingdom? Worship crew on it. We've got Jo Holdy, welcome back. She's here, she's drinking coffee. Welcome back. Give her a woo. Jo's in charge of decorations, so if that's your deal, she's now back in the country and waiting to see what a team is going to do with this little space here. We have got a jumping castle for kids, and all the reason is because mainly music, community gifts, we are inviting them to come and celebrate Jesus at the end point of our festival of giving. And so each of them will get an invitation to come and join us should they wish. Sound good? December the 22nd. We also have December the 24th, Christmas Eve, a smaller version of that celebration. We actually need some help with that. We're finding a lot of people are away that day. And so right now, we've got a really skeleton team to make that celebration the 24th as rich as we'd like. So if you're around and you can add strength to that, we're saying, please come and talk to Trav or I or Jo, because she's back now. I'm going to invite And next part of the story, we're going to hear some marked points of generosity for us as a church. So we've heard what happens to individuals. We've seen what happens to individuals last week with Richie and his response to feeding, mentoring in a primary school and feeding kids during breakfast club, and Marlene with aged care, individual response. And today we're just going to walk you through some of the responses that we've had as YVV behind the scenes that we are now wanting to bring you in on. And it starts with an elders meeting in April. In April, our elders meeting began with just an hour of every person getting 5 or 10 minutes to talk about how has God provided for you. We started that conversation in April. It was amazing. And if you ever want to have a question around a table talk or around a cafe, ask someone, how's God provided for you? How have you seen him generous in your life? It's amazing to hear the stories. So if Rob Carter, if you'd like to welcome him up, he's going to tell us the next part of the version.
Here we go. So picking up the story, getting context on my bit of paper, I've put a heading on it that actually says New Start, Preparing the Ground 2019, and a phrase that kept coming up within elders was new days, new ways. And we felt God speaking to us about that. It was a growing thing. But at our June elders meeting, it was quite a decisive moment for us all. The big reduction, if those of you who have, and forgive me if you're very new to us, who are visiting with us today, but for those of you who have been around the family and part of the family for a good while, the big reduction that we'd seen in our congregation saw a commensurate reduction in our income, such that we began the year and we were continuing to see a consistent shortfall in our income. So we were drawing on reserves. In our June meeting, we really felt led by God to make an in-principle decision to live within our means. That wasn't easy coming to it, but we really felt this is what God was saying to us. And we prayerfully resolved to take whatever measures might be needed to fulfill that. And I remember it so well because we were there in the offices. We stood in a circle and we just felt this conviction. Okay, Lord, you're calling us to live within our means. And there was a moment in our corporate prayer where we felt we were all to take one step forward, bunched in the circle, as a way of saying, Lord, we're stepping into this. We are going to be good stewards and good housekeepers. Not that we hadn't been before, but we were feeling a fresh call by God to say, I want you now to learn to live within your means. That's where you are as my family, and we're preparing the ground for something really new, the way of going about things. And we set an aim. It was a broad aim. It wasn't, God's not a legalist. He didn't say, you've got to do it by now. But we felt broadly that needed to be in place by the end of this year. Then, right after that meeting, where we went away saying, we just really know this is a God thing. We really know he's called us to this. And it was though God, I felt, I'm using my words here, it felt like God was putting an amen to this resolve, because within the week we had the offer of a different office space rent free for 1 year. And I think it was the following week, forgive me if I got the Sundays, you know, slightly out. If it wasn't the following Sunday, it was the next one. We had the biggest offering for the year on one Sunday, just shortly following that. And we felt God was kind of saying, yes, yes, this is what I want you to do first.
So we have part of that story that's going to add to that, inviting Susanna and Tim, but I think just Tim Oxie, is that right? You're going to come and join us now?
Good on you,
Let's
Tim.
Welcome Tim.
Yeah, give him a hand.
And let's say, hi, Susanna. So Tim has a piece of the puzzle as part of our community here, not knowing what had just happened.
Good on you, mate.
And he's just willing to share what God was doing with him.
Yeah, tell us, mate. How did this have come about for you?
You let me know and I'll know. I don't know. We just felt that there's a need to be filled and we had, you know, what could help. So just offered it, I guess. I mean, I don't know how to put it in any other words, really. It's not complicated. It just had a prompting.
That's good, mate. That's good.
And here comes Susanna. I knew. I love this.
I love the understatedness of
this. This is so awesome. And if you haven't put the queue together, this is the offer for this offer space from these two. They haven't kind of verbalised that.
Tim was way more verbal about it, so that's why I thought I don't have to talk. But it's actually just a pragmatic thing. It was looking at the finances and going over what we as a family had been through, like church family, and saying how can we relieve some of that pressure, because that was a chunk of finance going towards your things. So with a little bit of rearranging, it was
how can we make it work?
Like, it's not what you have, but it's a start for going forward. So that's where our hearts were, to be able to utilise it. And I know we've been down that road before once with you guys. Yeah. So,
now's the time.
But we didn't know the backstory. We didn't know that that's what had happened at that elders meeting. So that's the first time we've heard that. So
good.
That kind of puts things in a really lovely God space.
Can
so
I just add something?
Oh, good. He's ready now.
Nothing to do with it, actually. But I guess for us, generosity has been something that we've experienced all our life. I can't think of a more generous gift than what Jesus gives us and what Father gave us. And it's out of that generosity. And we've been in places incredible, not poverty. I've never been in poverty. I don't think as a Christian you can ever really be in poverty, because, you know, his generosity outweighs any poverty moment that you could possibly walk through. The generosity of eternity, the generosity of every breath you get to take every morning is just outstanding. And the generosity of forgiveness that he gave us is incredible, which we get to give away again, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We did get you up here to just say bless you and honour you for your response, because it's so just gelled in with what God was putting on our hearts. So thank you, guys. We honour you for that.
And let's welcome Steve up, another one of the elders, because when we had this offer from this beautiful couple, Steve was in the next part of the story.
Yeah, I think it was by the July meeting that we agreed to pursue that offering, but due diligence was going to be needed. So we didn't make an announcement back in July that, hey, we're talking about a different office space, a bolt hole for our staff, essentially. We had to go through process. So tell us about that, Steve, because you're a planner. You know this stuff.
Well, the difficult thing at the first instance was that I actually thought that the use wasn't permitted. And I went back and went over everything that is involved in planning, because that's what I do, and realised that there was an opportunity for us to take advantage of this offer from the Oxys. And so we prepared an application and have lodged that to the council. It's gone through advertising. It actually finishes today, the advertising period, and I was informed on Friday that there are no objections at this point, which is really good, really good. So we're expecting to get that permit sometime over the next 3 months, and I think that's the time frame we've allowed for moving out of it. I think for me, there's a bit of story in it in terms of the finance committee, and that is that in this journey, we, in joining the finance committee of the eldership, is we started off in prayer, and that first meeting that we had together was filled with the joy of God, knowing that he was going to meet our needs. And time again, we've seen that right through. Rick and I feel like we're just on a wave surfing, and Nicole and Di and Rob, we're all just surfing this wave of God bringing in his provision for our church. And it is just a beautiful thing to see. But more importantly than that, like with everything else that we try and do here, is we try and be family together doing it. So it's about us having very, very, very different opinions and ideas and concepts and thoughts, and we come together and we find what God is wanting to do through us. And that works for us in the finance committee, doesn't it, Rick? As much as any other part of the eldership or the church or the church family. And we want to, as part of that, we want to ensure that we honour the gift that has been given to us by the Oxys. So we're looking at ensuring that we have some memorandum of understanding so that we honour the gift that they've given and are able to use that space to God's glory. So all of this has been, for me, a great testimony of how God is involved in the relationships, and out of the relationship, he opens doors like he has with Tim and Susanna. So I just want to encourage you, both with the Festival of Giving and with other things that might be afoot, if you hear of a need, ask God if you're to be part of that. Because that's how we get our connections with the community. That's how we get our connections with the rest of the family here. Mm. And it's just been an absolute delight to be working on finances and to see God's provision come through in so many different ways. And bless you for it. Bless you for your giving. Bless you for your hearts that are open to say, look, I haven't got money, but I can offer this. And in Tim and Susanna's case, it's an office space. Everything that we have, we've got an opportunity to look at and see how we can use it to God's glory.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, let's honour Steve too, because for this part of the journey, God sends us a town planner. And I am so grateful, because some of the things he's had to push through just to help us get permission to use that space has just come through expertise. So we just honour you for all that time you put in that too. So we have handed in our lease, correct, Rob? We have given notice that in 3 months' time we will head into the factory area. Now, we have been so blessed by having this office space that many of you have seen. Who's been in the office space in Clark Street? Yeah, it's been really great to see it being used so much this year. We've had youth meeting in it on Tuesday nights. We've had Sunday night training. We've had prayer ministry stuff happening. Obviously, the staff have been keen to be working from a place, which has been really helpful too. We've also had worship nights there, so that space has been great. But we're aware that that space is a gift for that season. And we have a sense that there's something for us that we need to be ready for 2020, 2021, we don't know God's time frame, so that we can be free to move with when he opens that up. That's where we're positioning ourselves, that we are happy to release that space that we've had, because we're really believing that there's some new spaces and new faces and new places for us. Mm. So yeah, it's pretty exciting, but there's also a little bit of a sense of, oh, we've got to give that up. But we're letting it go for very good God-given direction for what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, so the finance team reported that they were reviewing all of our expenditure. This was in the July meeting. In the interest of us honouring this commitment that we'd made to the Lord. And I think we found it hard contemplating some changes that we might need to make. And though it was hard, we knew it was the Lord. Do you understand that? I think we've all sometimes been in a situation where we say, I think this is what God is really saying and where he's directing us. And so some of the bits go, oh, really? Do we have to stop that? Or are we going to change that? And so some of those things were hard, but we felt that he was saying, it is a season of new days, new ways. Are you ready to come on the ride? Because we are preparing ground for a whole new way, in that God will be providing for us and releasing the ways of provision for others too. So, there wasn't a meeting in August. Instead, We had a planning day that involved the staff and the elders. So that was a good time to have other focus to where we'd been needing to focus so much. Come the elders meeting in September, an area that we needed to consider was the financial support that we were making involved in our wider mission. And I'll openly say, personally, I came to this meeting saying, oh Lord, I'm feeling really unsettled. I'm resistant to making any such change. And I wasn't alone in that feeling. That night, we had two people in the meeting wearing face masks.
Do you remember that picture that I showed on the screen once with medical face masks?
It was a horrible season of flu going on. And so Steve, God bless him, was there with a face mask on, and so was Ron Matheson. They'd both dragged themselves, and they should have been home in bed and not coming and sharing their germs with us, but they put their masks on so that wouldn't do that. And that in itself spoke to me. These guys are just so in earnest to be walking this journey together with us. And it was when Ron Matheson...
Who's Ron Matheson?
Who's Ron Matheson? Thank you, Di. Good prompt. In those who don't know, Ron and Anne come in and out of the country spending half of their lives in Uganda, where they've set up Jinja Christian School. Most of you know this story, but if you don't, that's what it was about. Ron was in town. He got to come along to our elders' meeting in a consultancy role that they're now playing with us. And he came because he wanted us to know that God has been providing for he and Anne abundantly, and so they didn't want YVV to keep supporting them. And when Ron said that, in that moment, I got to say, I've been very personal about it here. I don't know what others were going on for them, but because I'd felt so resistant, I felt God giving us a green light. And as the Mathesons were seeing new ways of God providing, so will we see new ways of God providing. And I'm daring to believe so it will be for the other people that we've been supporting. Does that make it comfortable? No. But that's where I came to and was able to say, yeah, I think this is right, that we make this change as well. So come the October meeting, do I steam on here at this point? Okay. It was reported, we got to the October meeting, and there we reported that some of us on the same day advised Gail Aykroyd, Barry and Marg Borneman and Kylie Chenoweth that our financial support for them would finish at the end of this year. And I can only say to you, each of them were just so gracious and understanding in receiving that from us. Only gracious and understanding. And it reminded me a little bit of this, because a couple of them, at least, I think, did just say this to us. And it was a little bit like when Paul, in writing to the Galatians, said that we told the council in Jerusalem what we've been doing, and they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and that they would go to the Jews. And all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. The very thing I was eager to do, said Paul. And so when one or two had kind of said, we're good with that, but just don't lose your focus on wider mission, will you? We said, absolutely not. We don't even like doing this at this moment. We're going to keep our focus on local mission and wider mission. We're just feeling, at least for now, we've got to be consistent before God and say, we're honing down and going to live within our means by the end of this year. And we believe God has just positioned us to do exactly that now. Yeah. What else was I going to say here? Just to say that often when we talk about support, automatically we go, financial support. I know sometimes even when missionaries or whoever else say, would you pray for us? Sometimes it's seen as a euphemism for, will you give us some money? But we know support is a much bigger and wider thing than that. And so we are in every way wanting to be supportive of Barry and Marg, of Gail, Kylie and whoever else that God is calling from this family to do that. And in fact, this week, Dee and Renee are going to be meeting with Gail to talk about what future support looks like. And who knows, under God, whether once we've done our part of saying up until the end of this year, there's going to be an abundance come that may mean we as a church re-engage financially as well, or they're going to say, it's okay, God has been so amazing in the way he's provided for us. We don't want that from you. In fact, it's exciting because now more individuals are relating to us and it's not just, oh, the church covers them. Yeah, that's a possibility. And I get excited about that, of what the new ways of provision are going to look like. And I'm looking at Barry because he's kindly nodding at me. But I'm looking at Barry saying the ways he's going to keep providing for this man, because he's just such an example to me, of speaks of his trust in the faithfulness of God to provide, as all the people are that I've just mentioned. And so it's looking forward to this new way of God providing for us as a family. I hope you're getting the message, folks, that we have just done what we felt we needed to do before God, to say, do good housekeeping, tighten this up, and then watch and see what I'm going to do. And we feel we've already started to see it in the wonderful provision of an office space that we don't have to pay for the next year. Ooh. Stunning.
And the other thing that was going on in the same week, so again, there's a bit of a pattern of God responding here. In the same week that these meetings and these very full of grace meetings, but uncomfortable meetings with our dear friends, they're all our friends, the Bornemans and Gail and Kylie, our friends, so very hard to actually be sitting in this space, but we knew that God was doing something new. But we couldn't see it yet. We're still having to discover that together. 2 days after that meeting with all of those people in separate places, Renee and I, Renee is also another elder, we just happened to have a meeting with Ernie and Demi Ambrose, who are also in Sri Lanka, as we prayed for them this morning. They're over there. They've done 6 months there. They were back here, and we've just committed to debrief with them every time they're back in Australia, pray for them, hear what their needs are. So 2 days after these conversations, we just happened to be at their home, didn't we? And so Renee and I had the privilege of hearing God's story for this couple that have only for 6 months been in Sri Lanka because of what God's called them to. And they started to unpack for us that they are self-financed, but we actually need support from a sending organisation. Would you be that? So we're sitting there recognising this is a couple that have gone from here and are following the call of God, and they're presenting to us another way of supporting them. They wanted us to be their sending church, so that in Sri Lanka they've got backing. They've got people that they can say, I'm from YVV, Yarra Valley Vineyard in Melbourne, Australia. So as elders, we were sitting there just stunned that here is another way, and it's not the only way, but for this couple, in those 2 days, they'd come with a different request. Could we be their sending church in a different way than we've been used to? They were creating a new way for us. So you'll be delighted to know that we took that to the elders and we all felt very strongly, yes, we want to be that. So we are the sending church for Ernie and Demi in the midst of all this in Sri Lanka. Let's just give the Lord a clap for that timing.
Could I just say, incidentally, because some of you might be saying, what about Tim and Elise Richards up in the north of Australia? We felt before God that because we'd only just started to make a financial commitment to them, and it wasn't huge, but because we just started it, we needed to stay with that for the next year. So it wasn't a case of, you know, we choose them but not them. Generally, it was the people we're currently supporting, we needed to withdraw, bring that in so that we were living within our means. But we felt under God, stay with the Richards in this support for now. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. So we're going to just move into a bit of a response now and ask the Holy Spirit, what's he saying in all this? Because you've heard a lot of information and you've heard of some things that have been decisions for us, and we're going to do that in a really special way. I'm going to ask Simon in a moment just to come and do your beautiful worship for us. But what we're going to do is, remember at the start of the Festival of Giving, if you were here, we had a church from Brisbane who all of a sudden focused on us, didn't know our situation, what was going on, and they gave me, on behalf of their church, this little $50 note. Do you remember the story? And they did that because they felt like God was going to do something in this church about generosity and giving. So this is the $50 note. And I want to just do a little bit of a, it's almost like a metaphor of what we've just walked through. The elders have had resources. And then we've also recognized there's a lot of needs around us. So I want to ask you, in the last month when we've been doing Festival of Giving, stand up if you've recognized a need in your neighborhood that could do with $50. Let's see. Is there anyone that's recognized? It could be multiple people or it could be just one. You've recognized there's a need in your neighborhood and you want to give something towards that and sow into that. Stand up if that's you. Has anyone recognized a need that could use $50? Only one person? Anyone else? Stand up if you've got a need, if you've seen a need in your community. Rick standing, is there anyone else? Yep. We've seen needs and we wish we could sow into it. Beautiful. Can you think of any needs in your world? Hello. This is really cool because I asked the Lord for the youngest person in the building to help me with this. Seriously did. Rob, didn't I say that? So, don't go away. If you can't see, there's a beautiful little toddler down here. And literally, I said to Rob, I'm going to ask the youngest person to decide for us. Yeah, we're in that space because family, right? Family. We'll see who God... We might need a parent just to be a part of this so that they can actually direct them towards a need if we need it. So, yeah, thanks, Tim. Come and help us with that. So, we have at least these needs, and I know there's more, and some of you are shy and you're not standing up because you're not sure what I'm going to make you do. I understand. We have a church that wants to invest in us as a community, and so we're going to sow into something, and we're going to see who our youngest person feels the Lord's choosing for today. And these others that are standing, take note. They have some needs in the area where they need this. And that's how it feels as a church. Often we're looking around and saying there's lots of choices where we could be putting the resources of God that's being given to us. There's so many needs in our community that we just want our hearts to expand so that we've got more than just one $50 to share between them all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see what the Lord's saying to us? That part of our Festival of Giving is actually going to be expanding our hearts so that we've got capacity to be able to meet needs. So thank you, you guys, for standing. No, don't sit down. This is the fun bit. So we're inviting you four to come out the front because this is not a game. This is just something that we're wanting to involve our youngest person to help see what's going to happen. So Jeff, Denise, my God, Michael, thank you. So come up the front, Rick. Now our youngest person is going to do this on our behalf. If you feel a response in you that you want to join, you can come and release some money as well to these people. Okay, so this is now Holy Spirit. Let's see what he wants to do. Where's Tim? How do we do this? So this money's coming from Brisbane and planting a seed in our... He's got my water bottle. If you want to stand so you can see what's going on, it's quite fun. Now, who to? Which one? Which one? Over here? You get the honour. Okay, Tim's part of our church. He's got our youngest here. And so now we just release you to how you want to give that on behalf of God.
Okay, this is really amazing. I just learnt last week that there's a couple who have just had twins, and they've both got Down syndrome. And the lady, they're Christians. She came to our ladies' home group a few months ago, and then I found out they have a 3-year-old as well, and it also has Down syndrome. So this money will be going to them for nappies or petrol or I don't know, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's just hear what the Lord's put on Jeff's heart, what he's seeing.
I have a particular neighbour who is the sort of neighbour that people don't want. It doesn't faze me too much, but it's a nursery road and all the traffic comes in and out any time of the day and night to his place. He's going through a rough time. He has a lot of trouble with the establishment, the powers that be, and currently it looks like he's having to sell his home up and move on. And just reading between the lines, I don't think he has much in mind exactly what he's going to do. So he's a fairly rough nut, and my idea is just to bless him, regardless of where he's at financially, which is he's not well off at all. So it's just to sow a seed of blessing to him from a body of people that love him.
I'm going to keep going. Thank you for being patient.
The Lord's just really placed the Chernside Park Fire Brigade on my heart because they're representing my community, but they're serving my community and they're protecting the community as well, and they're being unselfish. And the Chernside Park Fire Brigade, it's the whole thing, it's voluntary, it's not paid.
The men's home group is going to, we've had a little thing, 20 guys give $25, and we've got a guy who comes to our home group whose wife is unwell with daily migraines, totally debilitating, who are battling at the moment. We're going to hand on $500 to them for Christmas. The ladies' home group is going to make some lovely hampers. We're going to hand them out to some families. We're going to just, in the name of Jesus, just try and make a little difference. Each one of us, not just special stars in our midst. And I just feel motivated to say this. If you don't know poor people, get on about it.